I'd like to thank the organizers for the invitation. My goal in this talk is to explain the proof by Yamanoi of the second main theorem in dimension one for moving targets. So I will start by the second main theorem in the classical setting, that means fixed targets in dimension one still, which is Levandia second main. Theorem. And for this, I will maybe focus on, instead of the full second main theorem, on the defect relation. So let me explain a bit the context. Start with an entire curve. Might define the Levandina characteristic function in the following way. So this is a growth function, and I will take the area with respect to the Fubini 2D on P1 normalized in such a way that the full area is 1. Okay, and now take targets on P1, fixed one, to begin with. So let's say a point. And you look at how many times you hit this point when you look at the entire curve. Like that. So you look at the number of points inside number of roots of this equation inside the disk of radius t, inside t, and I look at the geometric number of solutions. This is without multiplicity. And now I might integrate in the same way to get a number. And I want to compare the growth, the characteristic function of S, with this number of solution of some equation, F equal to some constant. And the hope is that N looks like T, and this is almost true. If it is not true, you can define a defect for this. Which is 1 minus limsu of big N over T. And this defect usually is between 0 and 1. For instance, if P is not hit at all, if P is missed, then the defect is maximum. Okay? And now the second main theorem, or more precisely its consequence, is the following. Take finitely many targets, then the sum of the defect of each of them is at most 2. In particular, this statement contains a Picard theorem. So because you cannot have more than two targets completely missed. When one target is missed, you have a defect one, and you can have at most two of them like that. Okay. And Nevandina himself asked for the question of moving targets. So instead of having points like that, you may have a moving target. So entire functions beside of f. And to make sense, you ask them to move slowly with respect to f. Meaning that the growth function, the characteristic function for those, are smaller with respect to TS. And then the question makes sense for those targets, and you define exactly in the same way the defect, where small n I is only the number of solution of the equation, exactly the same, but now p is moving inside the disk of radius t. Okay, and so he asked the question about what kind of defect relation holds in this setting, and the answer, the full answer, just arrived 4 years ago by Yamanoi. So you have exactly the same defect relation. To understand now the proof of this theorem, I'd like to go back to the proof of Nevandina theorem by means of Alfors' theory of covering surfaces. So now I will try to explain a little bit of this Alfors' theory in order to prove first Nevandina theorem. So the summary. Theory. Question?
With respect to your remark, in fact, I believe that the moving target case, even for n dimensional moving hyperplanes, which is a generalization of this, this was done some time ago already, for example, by
Minhu
and
the quantum
that he counts those solutions.
Yes, this is the point. This is the main point. Okay. So, yes, when you start to count multiplicities, there are some existing answers, but we thought it was done only 4 years ago. So what is Alfors' theory? The main statement of it is just a kind of Riemann-Hurwitz inequality, or I recall you Riemann-Hurwitz equality or inequality. It has to do with maps between Riemann surfaces. And you want this map to be proper, meaning that the boundary of sigma is sent to the boundary of sigma zero. Then in this case, you can define a degree for this map and get something like that. Forgetting about the ramification terms, you will get this. And if you want to express it more in the terms of area, instead of degree, you can put here the area of F of sigma 0, of sigma, sorry, characteristic of sigma 0. As soon as you have put here some metric, and this metric being normalized, a full area 1. Some normalized metric. Okay, this is the classical Riemannowitz inequality, or equality if you put here the ramification term. Now, Alpha's inequality is something very similar. But deals with holomorphic maps which are no longer proper. So take the same setting. And you will have almost the same statement. Then the characteristic of sigma is less than the area of the image times the characteristic of sigma 0 plus some error term which takes care of the fact that the F is not anymore proper. So this is exactly some constant depending only on sigma 0 times the length of the boundary, the image of the boundary going outside the boundary of the image. So this is the relative boundary, and this is really why this is really the term expressing the fact that F is not anymore proper. Okay? And this is almost true, but you have to put here some minus, which means that instead of the usual Euler characteristic of sigma, you take this is the mean of the Euler characteristic and zero. So the only difference is for disks. Okay, this is the main tool for proving Nevanlinna's theorem in the classical setting. So let's prove it. So what you do is the following. You take your disk DT, goes toward P1, and what you want is to analyze how many times it hits some points here. Let's say 3 points, or something like that. The way to involve Alpha's inequality will be by removing disks around those points and apply the inequality for the map between the preimage of this and this. So you look now to F between DT minus the preimage of those disks. Toward P1 minus those disks. Okay, and you apply directly this Alpha's inequality. So what you get So you get something like the characteristic here is less than the area of the image, which looks like f of t, times the characteristic of the complement of those disks plus this error term. And this here I put is exactly the length of the boundary of the full disk. You get something like that. This means because the Q has to be interesting more than 2, this is negative. So this push down this characteristic. This characteristic goes down. And it goes down in the following way, essentially because when you remove those disks here, you will create holes, highlands. Inside these disks, and this make the characteristic go down by 1 for every for each ion. So you get the following minus the number of ions in dt is less than a of t. Times 2 minus Q plus this residual term. Now, for each island, so each component like that, such an island has to project onto one of those disks. And this means that inside you get some solution of the equation F equal to P1, for instance, in this case. So this number of islands is less than the total number of the hitting points I'm looking for, so I can put in here those number of solutions, and I get this estimate. Okay. Now you see almost what has to be done. You put these terms to the left, you get this. Now you integrate between you integrate between 0 and R against dt over t. You get what you want, namely dividing by t, you get sum of the expression inside the defect less than 2t. So I have divided by t, so 2 plus c. Big L over T. Big L means the integral of this length. Okay. Now to finish, you just have to invoke some Alfort's lemma still. Which tells you that at least for some growing sequence RK, you might be able to find that L over T goes to 0. So choose RK in such a way that L goes to
over t goes to zero,
and you get exactly the conclusion that the sum of the defect is less than 2. Okay, so this is the scheme of the proof by Alforth. And now you want to do exactly the same for a moving target. To be simple, I will restrict myself to four moving targets, which is the first non-trivial case. So three moving targets can be fixed by automorphisms of P1. So the first case, which is non-trivial, with respect to the fixed target case, is 4. So I take 4 targets, 3 being fixed and 1 moving. And P is supposed to be slowly moving with respect to the given entire curve. The way to deal with this is to pass in dimension 2 and to try to have some second main theorem in P1 cross P1 in a very special setting. So take capital F to be the entire map which is given by first moving target and second my original entire curve F. So you get a new entire curve in P1 cross P1 with growth functions which look like T of F, okay, because P is much slower. And you want to look for the intersection of F with 4 divisors, which are three horizontal divisors, and one which is the diagonal. So the first three are P1 cross 0, P1 cross 1, P1 cross infinity, and the fourth is a diagonal. And you want to count the number of fittings of the curve f of c with respect to this. Knowing that the first projection goes much more slow than the very vertical projection. So in some way f of c looks like that. A way to make this correct is to pass to the limit, so to look to the limit object of this entire curve. So define the positive closed current phi to be the limit of the image of f by of a given sequence, a good sequence of this. Maybe I shouldn't say this, because I have to
integrate like that over the characteristic of S in RK.
Here I choose exactly in the same way as before the sequence RK in such a way that the length of the boundary becomes negligible with respect to the characteristic function. So with the hypothesis, this means that phi is a closed ground. The fact that the first projection goes very much is much more slow than the vertical one means that this current will be vertical. So you can look at it as some integral over the base against some probability measure on P1. Of current of integration over the verticals, like this. So this picture, at the limit, gives you a vertical current. Okay. And somehow you want to compare the intersection of this current with respect to those four divisors with some geometrical intersection of the entire curve before the limit. This is just a way to guide the discussion after this. Now what you do is more or less to localize the problem around nearby each vertical fiber. So now localize the problem near each vertical fiber in the following way. So I draw again the same picture. So I have my three horizontal divisors diagonal, and I want to look at let's say some vertical fiber here and some neighborhood of it. So of the form delta cross P1 of T. This is only to make sure that the diagonal inside this neighborhood of the vertical fiber does not move too much. And this is true, it's almost constant in this case. And now, what you want to do is to first restrict yourself to this piece of P1 cross P1, so you intersect the map you had before inside this delta cross P1, and after that to project in this direction on P1, which you might think of as the vertical, the central fiber, and apply exactly the same trick as before, so a posteriori. So restrict yourself to delta cross P1 and use this vertical projection and use P to apply exactly the same alpha theory. So I will be a bit more precise. So you are able to apply alpha theory as before if you are able to put here. So here you have 0, 1, infinity. Here you have infinity, 1, 0. And here you have a zone a piece of land where the projection of the diagonal stands. So you have something like that, which is exactly delta you started with, this one, like that. If you are able to put a small disk, delta 1, delta 2, delta 3, and this delta, which is given somehow, in such a way that there are distinct disjoints, so four disjoint disks, then you apply the alpha theory exactly as before. So you apply it to take P composed with F from dt intersected with F minus 1 of this piece toward here P1, and after that, after this restriction, you apply exactly alpha theory by removing these four disks here. Okay, and what you get minus the sum of Ni over delta, meaning the intersection which lives inside this disk. Less than minus 2 times the total characteristic function, weighted by the fact that you are not considering the whole map, but only a part of it, and the area of the entire curve which is inside is given asymptotically by the mass of the measure mu on the disk delta. So it should be something like that here, plus some small term. This is the measure on the basis which gave the current phi. The current phi was vertical, so expressed yes, but you make a small error when you go, so I should be more precise here. So it's only for RK here also, and here you have some error term. So the passing to the limit is included in this error. Now what you want to do is, it's almost finished. You have to sum up those inequality over some partition of the horizontal P1 in disk delta. So sum up these inequalities. Over a partition of P1 in delta, and you get more or less what you wanted. Yes, so when I sorry, I finished just my you get something like that. So you sum up, you get one instead of this. And this is more or less the defect relation you wanted to. Sorry for the question?
So, you didn't explain what happens when the diagonal
intersects with the
system.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So this is completely false, like you said. So this is a bit rough, let's say. So let me explain the various problems in dealing with this. This is the rough scheme, and now yeah, there are some details to fill in. So, problem. Even if you don't approach this particular firebox where your diagonal hit 0, 1 or infinity, there are some problems before. So first, when you restrict yourself to some small neighbor like that, when restricting by cutting vertically the picture, the first point is that you create new boundaries. So you create new boundaries, and you have to take care of the length of them in order to apply a force. Sorry, you have to do something. The reason why those new boundaries are of negligible length with respect to the growth function, they are negligible because essentially because you use some co-area formula. And the fact that the entire curve you are looking at is almost vertical, and you cut it vertically, so it has to enter into the picture. And the verticality of capital F. So you cannot do that in any setting. It's very special for this setting. The second problem is, still when restricting by cutting this vertical piece like that, you might change the characteristic, the Euler characteristic. You might produce new islands which are not the one you want. Might produce somehow horizontal islands. So when you cut out and look inside the tube like this, you might at the source create islands which look like they go from the exterior like that. They are exterior of this tube. But if they look like that, they project down to some given area, let's say 1/2 or something like that. And so the total number of those bad islands is dominated by the characteristic function of the base. The number of, let's say, horizontal islands is less than is a big O of the characteristic function of P, which is negligible. And the third problem is the problem you mentioned, namely the special fibers. If they are not charged by the measure, so third problem, the special fibers instance 0, where the diagonal hits the horizontal 0 cross, so this is 0 cross P1, this is P1 cross 0, this is the diagonal. So you cannot disjoint those four disks, and you are in trouble. So first, if by chance the measure mu given by the current
does not charge these special fibers, then everything works. If you so the only problem is when one of these fibers is charged. So what you do is what you expect to do, what you would be expected to do. You blow up this point. So if, for instance, mu of zero is positive, just blow up the point zero cos zero in P1 cross P1, and you get as a new vertical fiber something which is not bad, namely two rational curves, a tree of two rational curves, and you have separated your four divisor again. So here you have this is the exceptional divisor. Here you have separated the diagonal and the P1 cross U, and here you still remain the two other, so P1 cross 1, P1 cross infinity. And now what you want to do is to apply some sort of Alfoss theory with a target which is not a P1 but a tree of P1, and you can do so. Just apply again some sort of Alfoss theory with a target, a tree of P1. You have to do something of this kind, but it seems to work in this way, at least in this simple case. So I'm finished.